I don't know about you guys, but especially in a time like this, it's easy to get our attention and our focus taken away, put on the wrong entire things. But I know that for me and that for you as people of God, that we desire to continually be led by the Spirit of God. Amen? I'm going to say that one more time. We desire to be led by the Spirit. Am I right? Amen?
Amen.
All right. Thank you. If you're watching online, just put that in the chat. Amen. Everybody say, led by the Spirit.
Led by the Spirit.
Yeah. We in the Christian life that we are living are a people that are to be led by the Holy Spirit. We are a people that are not to just be led by our own wisdom, our own cleverness, our own intellectual abilities, our own physical abilities, but instead we are to be a people whose lives are marked by the fact that we are led by the Holy Spirit of God in everything that we do. And if we do that, we will see the power of God at work in our lives and we will see our life changed. But thank goodness, we'll also see the lives of other people changed as well. My family and I went to a place yesterday called Roaring Run. Anybody ever heard of Roaring Run? So it's a great hike for your family. If you've never been there and you're local here, man, you should go check out Roaring Run. It's about an hour away from here. Well, we were on the way there, and on our left, as we got closer, we saw this big old wide river. And my wife looks over, and she's like, hey, look, there's people that are rafting on the river. And then we realized, wait, they're not rafting, they're sitting. Because the river was just going so slow, they had just come to a dead stop. And they were not moving at all. There was just no movement. There was water, but there was no movement. And then we got up to where we were hiking. We hiked up to the place where we started. And then we got to where the water started from. And there was a lot of power. And we got moving, right? Because you don't have tubes up there because there's all kinds of rocks and slippery slopes. And there's a few spots, if you've never been there, where there are these sheets of rock, basically. And you could get onto those sheets of rock and slide down into a pool of water at the bottom. And so it is a lot of fun. But as me and my son especially were exploring this place, we found that some places the little river there would widen, and in some places it would narrow and the water would get diverted to just one side of the river. And we found this one spot that looked super dangerous. And so, of course, my son immediately wanted to go head first into that spot. And the whole time I've been kind of coaching, right? I'm like letting this kite out to say, hey, I want to have some adventure and have some fun, but we also want to have a little bit of wisdom in there. We don't want to be sitting like the people on the river, not moving, but we do want to be wise about what's going on. And so there was this one spot where all the water in the whole river was kind of pushed to one side, and it was just white water turbulence going on. And I thought, I'm going to show them how to do this. So I realized that this sheet of rock that was going down was too dangerous to actually go down. And so, because I was being a little timid and wanted to be safe, I didn't have any plans of going down it. What I did is I just got to the head of this white water, and I climbed in, and I lay down, and I just pretended like I was swimming, right? And so I was having fun goofing off with no intention of going down. And then I said, watch this. And all four of my kids were watching as father was about to die. Because I turned over on my to do a backstroke, and I got off of the rock that was holding me in place, and I started shooting down this river. And I'll be honest with you, the fear of God came over me at that moment in my life. I felt sure that my kids were going to watch their father die that day. And so as I'm careening down this sheet of rock, in my mind I'm thinking, this is exactly what I was telling Levi not to do. And I'm doing it. And I'm going to set the example for why he shouldn't. Well, luckily for me, this was like a movie playing out in slow motion in my brain in one instance. And there was this big log kind of jutting out. And I was thinking, if this thing doesn't kill me, great, grab as much as 5 miles an hour past this thing. So I reached out with all my might, and my kids were like, your face, Dad. Your face was like, just like scared and trying to pay attention. And I reached out to grab this log, just like they do in the movies. And the power and the momentum was too much for my weak hands. And it ripped. I mean, I got a big old blister right here on one hand because it just ripped right on through. And I kept rolling down to the bottom of this rock, and came to a crashing stop where there was a lip of rock before it went down into a next section. And my right heel caught the brunt of my weight in that water, and I stopped right there in a ball and dragged myself out of the river. I say all that to let you know I apologize for almost killing your pastor. And for setting a bad example. But I had a lot of fun. I didn't die, and I got carried away. And I wanted you to capture that example just for a brief moment in your mind to say there is a sense in which we in the Christian life can get caught into a funk where we're on the water, we're in the church, we're in the river, we're close to where we should be, but there's no power and there's no movement and God is not doing anything in our lives. And you might ask yourself this question this morning: when is the last time that I've visibly known that the power of God was in my life and I knew for sure that I was being led by the Spirit of God? His hand was on me in an evident kind of a way. Now, we want to be the people who, you know, Jesus said in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. He'll be the one that gives you the power to do this. You and I, in and of ourselves, do not have the ability to bring people to saving faith in Christ. The Holy Spirit is the one who does his work in his own way, in his own timing to do that. And you and I need to make sure that we are in the flow, that we are not just wildly carried away beyond any kind of control whatsoever. The Corinthian church did that, and Paul had to bring them back in line. But we do want to make sure that we are a people that are not just going through the motions of Christianity, but that we are actually a church and individuals who the Spirit of God is on our lives. Turn in your copy of the scriptures to Acts chapter 13. We're going to continue our series called Be the Church. And we are going through the entire book of Acts saying, what does it mean for us to be the church in this day and age? What does it mean for us to be the church together? Does it mean that we come to a building? This is a great example to show us that the church is not a building, right? The church is God's called out people, God's redeemed people, you and me, working together to accomplish God's purposes in this world. And being outside of the building right now is a great way for us to remember and to know that. So in Acts chapter 13, it's a crucial chapter in our history, in the history of the church, but also in the book of Acts, it's a crucial thing because there is a shift that's taking place in the book of Acts. If you've been reading through, let me encourage you, if you haven't, to start reading slowly through the book of Acts and to really let the Holy Spirit open your eyes to what was happening in those early days and to take away those examples and principles that we can apply in our own lives today. But in Acts chapter 13, the Holy Spirit shows up in a powerful way. He's already shown up on the day of Pentecost, and he has filled the believers. And now believers at the point of salvation are automatically filled with the Holy Spirit. But what's happening in Acts chapter 13 is that there is a shift in the life of the church in this way, in that the focus is shifting from Jerusalem to Antioch. Antioch is the place where people that believed and followed Jesus were first called Christians. So it's shifting away from a more rural area to a more urban area. It's shifting away from Jerusalem to Antioch. It's shifting away more from Judaism and mostly being Jewish people that comprise the church to now the Gentile world comprising the church. It's shifting away from the Apostle Peter, who takes up most of the space in the first 12 chapters, and now it's going to be the Apostle Paul that we see really highlighted in the remaining parts of the book of Acts. That is what's happened. That is the layout of what's going on. And so we're going to pick up and read verses one and cover verses 1 through 12 today. But first, let's pray and ask God for his power on our lives and on this service. Lord Jesus, we as your church gather here in this courtyard outside with these cool temperatures. And Lord, we gather online together as one church family to come together to be led by your Holy Spirit. God, to hear from you, to hear from the word that was written by your Holy Spirit. And God, I pray that today that we would hear from you in a clear way. God, that you would empower us. Lord, that you would fill us up. Lord, that we would leave here challenged by your word. And Lord, that we would leave here empowered by your spirit to do your work. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And God's people typed in the chat and said out loud, amen, amen. Acts 13, verse 1. Christians that are led by the Spirit. Number one, if you're taking notes, the title is Led by the Spirit. Point one is this, is Empowered by the Spirit. Now there were in the church at Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, "Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them." Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And so they were empowered by the Holy Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, right away, right here in this church at Antioch, we see that people have and are using their spiritual gifts. You see, at the point of your salvation, when the Holy Spirit comes into your life and changes you, forgives your sin, makes you a believer in Christ, and takes away the old man and replaces that with the new man, you have the gift of the Holy Spirit, and you automatically have at least one spiritual gift that God gives you so that you could participate in the ministry and the life of the church. And so we see that in this church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers that were at work. Why is that so important, especially in Acts chapter 13? Well, because the New Testament has not been written yet. And so it's super important that there are prophets who can tell the truth, who are truth-telling people, who can tell people what is right and what is wrong and can help lead the church, and that there's teachers that can also expound the truth of God's word from the Old Testament and also from the words of Jesus that they had heard or that had been passed down to them, so that people could be brought up in the truth of God's word. And that is also crucial for the church today, right here and right now. You know, even in fact, they had this gift, and Paul not only uses the gift of teaching himself, but he passes it down to younger men so that they could also pass this gift to other people. In fact, as he's getting ready to check out, I'm going to flip over. You can join me in 2 Timothy if you like. If not, I'll read it to you. But in 2 Timothy, it's just too good to pass over. The Apostle Paul, he's writing, of course, to Timothy. And he tells him in Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "You then, my child, be strengthened by the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and what you have heard from me, what I have taught you in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who will be able to do what? To teach others also." Teaching was super important to the Apostle Paul. He's passing it on to Timothy, and he's encouraging him to do it and to never give up. Well, guess what? People don't always want to hear good teaching, right? People don't always want to hear truth telling teaching. Well, Paul knew that. And so he tells Timothy in chapter 2, verse 15, "Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth." And so Paul knows that these gifts that we're putting into use, we want to use them in the right way. And it is super important, pay attention to this, it's super important that we are a people that wants to hear the truth of God's word handled in the right way. Why is that important? Because with the internet now, anybody watching online or anybody here in the courtyard, you could very easily tune into any teacher in the whole entire world that you want to listen to. But not everybody is going to teach from God's word and tell you the truth. And so it's important that we as a people of the church hold that important, hold that fast to ourselves. Chapter 4 says this, "I charge you, Timothy, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, do what? Preach the word," right? Preach the word. "Be ready in season and out of season." Like, always be ready to do this. "Reprove, rebuke, exhort." Wow, this teaching thing doesn't sound so fun anymore, right? Because you got to be willing to reprove and rebuke and exhort. And Paul's going to do that later on in our story in Acts 13 when we finally get back to that chapter. "For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching." Sorry if you guys are having to endure this teaching today already, by the way. "But the time is coming, Peter," and it's here now, "when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears," what will they do? "They will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions, and they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. They were empowered by the Spirit to have and to use their spiritual gifts. He highlights prophets and teachers here in that chapter, and I wanted to highlight it here in this courtyard and online, that it is super important to have prophets and teachers at work teaching the right thing, saying the right thing, saying the truth about God, and that we would be a people that would always appreciate the health of that and don't go off into areas where we're just seeking to be entertained or, as Paul says, to have our ears tickled, but that we would love the flavor and the taste and the nurturing of good, solid teaching from the Word of God. So they were empowered by the Spirit to have and use their spiritual gifts and to work together in spite of their differences. And so we see that as he lists out these five guys, Barnabas and Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul, that these guys are from different backgrounds. So it would appear that Simeon is from Nigeria, Lucius of Cyrene. Cyrene is a country in northern Africa. Manaen is a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch. That means that he grew up, he was adopted into the family, into the courts of Herod. And so he grew up wealthy. He grew up around royalty. And so we've got some dudes here that are from Africa. So we got some Africans already that are part of the life of the church. We got Jewish men who had grown up in Judaism who are part of the church. And we've got who grew up knowing nothing about Judaism, but grew up around wealth and privilege. And guess what's happened? Through the power of the Holy Spirit, all those different kinds of people, just like as I look around and I see people online or here in the courtyard, people from all different kinds of walks of life and different economic standings, different ethnicities, different backgrounds, all coming together and finding their identity in Christ first and foremost. They are finding that there, not in an identity that they've gotten from the world, but saying, you know what? Because God has changed me from the inside out, I am completely different. And my old way of life that I valued so highly, I'm going to lay that down. And back there in this day and age, I'll give you one example. Manaen, that's mentioned there in those five guys, he grew up in the courts of Herod. For him to reject that growing up in that court and to switch over to believing in Jesus Christ and following him would have completely shut him off from his former way of life, because his friend Herod that he grew up with is the same Herod that Jesus stood in front of when he was on trial, who said, I'm totally fine with this guy being persecuted and crucified, who later went on to persecute Christians as well. And so he would have left that and broken with his lifelong friend to say, what's most important to me is not that I satisfy people and that I make other people happy, but that my identity is primarily in Christ. And as we come together as a church, that is what we are doing. We are rejecting our past, but we're saying that what God has made me now and here and now, empowered by the Holy Spirit to work together with other people who look nothing like me, is way more beautiful and glorifying to God than me holding on to who I used to be. Amen? So, empowered by the Holy Spirit, we're still on point one here, to work together in spite of their differences and to leave their old lives and to embrace a new identity in Christ. And so that is just a warm-up to what the Holy Spirit does in the life of the church that is led by the Spirit. I hope that marks your life, and I hope that that marks my life. It may not. That's why we point to, right? Because we're not only empowered by the Spirit, but they are hearing from the Spirit. Let's keep on reading. Verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, so get this, while they were worshiping and while they were fasting, that's when they heard from God. You know, I'm not even going to go any further right now. I'm just going to say this. What are we worshiping? Because here in this snapshot, whether it's these five guys or whether it's the entire church that's gathered, we don't know. But people here in this church were hearing from the Holy Spirit led by him because, number one, they're worshiping the right thing. You and I are made to worship. You and I will worship something in this life? The question that we have to be really honest with ourselves right now is this, is what have I been worshiping this last week? As you look back over the history of the last 7 days of your life, what do the facts say that you have been worshiping? Maybe we've been worshiping our work. Maybe we've been worshiping our entertainment. Maybe we've been worshiping the news. Maybe we've been worshiping what other people think about us. But what worships, they worship the Lord. They were able to more clearly hear from the Holy Spirit and be led by Him. Let me challenge us to be a people who worship God, because the Bible says that if we draw close to Him, that He will draw close to us, and we believe that, right? We believe the Word of God, and we want to say, you know what? No matter what it takes, I want to worship You. I want the words of my mouth to be about Jesus Christ, and what's going on in my heart, I want that to be about Jesus Christ. And so we're worshiping, and they were fasting. What's fasting? Fasting is this. Fasting is you and me denying ourselves. That's just a really simple way to say what fasting is. Fasting is saying, I want more of God and less of the world. Amen? I want less of what this world has to offer because it's not doing jack squat for me. And I want more of Jesus because He did everything for me. Can I get an amen on that? That is the truth. Fasting is putting away and being willing to deny ourselves. Americans, we haven't always been a people known for denying ourselves. That's not a knock on America. That's really all humanity, right? But we just happen to be Americans. All humanity has never been known for wanting to deny themselves. We want what we want. We want what feels good. We want what is immediate. We want what is right there and right now. We want what other people have. Anybody here ever look on social media and get a little jealous about what other people are doing, what other people have, what other people look like? Can we get an amen online? I want every hand up. Come on now. You never have done that? Man, I'm going to church with a bunch of liars. Wow. These are the kinds of people we want at church, right? They need Jesus. So we've all been in a position where we know that we're not denying ourselves. In fact, what we are doing is we are actually feeding the flesh. Huh? That doesn't feel good. It feels good right in the here and now. Feed the flesh. But you will not hear from the Holy Spirit of God when your main function is to feed your flesh, whether that's food, entertainment, news, politics. You fill in the blank for you. I don't know what it is for you. I know what it is for me. But to say, God, I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to fast because I long so much to be led by the Holy Spirit that I would do whatever it takes to shut everything else, turn down the noise of this life so that I could turn up the sound, the volume from my Heavenly Father and to hear from Him by His Holy Spirit. So they were hearing from the Spirit. To be led by the Spirit, we need to pass the Spirit. We need to be hearing from the Holy Spirit. They were worshiping and fasting. And then guess what? They heard specific instructions, which was to set apart Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Let's keep reading because we just stopped halfway through verse 2. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, guess what? The Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So they were hearing from the Lord really specifically. So He names them by name. I want these two guys, and I've got some work that I've already determined ahead of time that I want them to do. Ephesians chapter tells us that we're God's craftsmanship, His workmanship, that have been created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which what? Which He has prepared in advance for us to do. So God not only sovereignly draws us to salvation, but He has already laid out things that you're wired up for by Him so that you could carry out the work that He's laid out in advance for you to do. And so He calls out Barnabas and Saul, and He says, I want these two, and they hear from Him. And there is apparently no doubt in their minds for those two or for this church as a whole that God has done this because they are individually and as a church agreeing that the Holy Spirit has said this thing because they are being led by the Spirit. And sometimes when you're being led by the Spirit, you don't always do things that make sense to other people, right? You don't always do things that make sense in the eyes of this world. And as the church, we should more and more be doing things that make zero sense to the world that's watching what we are up to. We are not trying to be a people that walks hand in hand with the works of this world and then also at the same time simultaneously try to do the work that God has prepared for us to do and walk that fence. Instead, we should be a people that are completely sold out to God. And when we are worshiping and when we are fasting and we hear from Him, we go. We do it. We don't wait. We don't pause. We don't wonder. We don't question. We obey what God has called us to do. And so they were hearing from the Spirit and they were obeying the Spirit and they heard these specific instructions. Can you still hear from the Lord today? You betcha. You can hear from God. You know how you can hear from God? A real primary way is right here by the Word of God that's written by the Holy Spirit that will lead you and guide you in all matters in this life. We should be a people that if you want to be led by the Spirit, that you are in this Word daily. There is no excuse for any of us to not be in God's Word daily because when the Bible speaks, God speaks. You want to hear God speak? You want to hear God speak? Read this word. You'll hear God speak loud and clear. But if you're a believer here and you're empowered by the Holy Spirit, He's in your life, He can also still lead you and guide you today. He is not dormant. He's not asleep. Your life doesn't have to be on some river somewhere, sitting still, not moving. It can be live and active, moving, and sometimes you're going to feel out of control, right? Like you're in a dangerous situation, and you're about to slip down a slippery slope, and you don't know where things are going to wind up. That's what we're going to see with Barnabas and Saul. So they were hearing from the Spirit. Then they were sent by the Spirit. Then after fasting and praying, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. So as they heard from the Holy Spirit, then after fasting and praying, they heard, they were worshiping, they were fasting, they heard from the Holy Spirit. The Bible also says to test the spirits, right? So they go back to fasting and praying some more, I think, maybe because they want to just make sure this is what the Spirit is saying. We want to make sure this wasn't us. Up, confirmed. God's setting apart Barnabas and Saul for this work that He's called them to. So what do? They were a church that was willing to obey the Spirit and send these people out. So they laid their hands on them. As they hand them, they were not passing on any kind of gifts or power from them because the work had already been predetermined by the Holy Spirit and the power had already been given by the Holy Spirit. They were just laying their hands on, just affirming that the hand of God is on these guys. And we as a church are going to symbolize that by putting our hands on them and saying, we affirm that God has called you and gifted you, and we are sending you out to do the work that He has called you to do. And we want to be a church led by the Holy Spirit who is willing to do that very same thing. You know, as we meet right here today, Sunday morning, one of our couples, Reggie and Courtney Johnson, are driving a car. I don't know, they might be watching online right now. Don't watch by video, though. Just tune in by audio. But they're driving to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, because God has called them to plant a church there. And we affirm that calling and support that calling. And soon here in a couple of months, right here, we'll be laying hands on them and praying over them and sending them out and affirming that God has called them and we want to help them and support them in every way that we can. And we want to do that joyfully. Yes, it hurts a little when we lose people and we send them out. But led by the Spirit, it should always bring way more joy when we see people say, God's called me and calling me away from here to say, hey, we're not angry, we're not trying to hold on to you. We're not upset that you would mess up our friendship in this way. No, we are so glad that you are led by the Spirit and being willing to step out by faith and do something that doesn't make sense to other people. That's the kind of church we want to be. So when that happens, we are going to party, right? We are going to celebrate as they sail away to Cyprus, so to speak. And I got to believe that the people in this church were celebrating as they were being sent by the Spirit. So it was the plan of the Spirit, but it was also the timing of the Spirit, which is why I'm now checking my watch. You know, sometimes you and I, we've been known to get ahead of the Holy Spirit, right? Maybe we know a little bit. Maybe we trust our gift a little bit too much. Maybe we say, you know what? I know what God's called me to do. I'm just going to go do this thing. And for some reason, your life, your ministry doesn't seem to have power or fruit. That could be a good sign that you haven't been fasting and praying and worshiping and waiting on the Holy Spirit so that the work that you do has been set out by Him in the right timing. And so if they would have decided this 2 weeks earlier, Barnabas and Saul, and have taken off without the blessing of the church and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, their ministry would not have seen the same kind of fruit. So they were fasting and waiting on God's timing. Let me encourage you to always wait on God's timing for what He has for your life, especially when there's a big shift that's happening, a major shift that's happening. You would be super clear that God is doing that, and that you would also wait for the affirmation of your church family to say, am I seeing this right? Am I hearing this right? Am I the only one? So that your church could willingly lay hands on you and say, we affirm that you have this gifting, that God has called you to this, and that we can joyfully send you out in this way. And so they were empowered by the Spirit. They were hearing from the Spirit. They were sent by the Spirit. And thank goodness, people are still saved by the Holy Spirit, right? Let's keep reading. We got a cool story here. They were sent out. They went to Seleucia, which is about 16 miles away from Antioch. And from there, they got a ship. And what did they do? They sailed about 130 miles to the island of Cyprus. This is actually the place where Barnabas is from. So Barnabas is going to his hometown to share the gospel. And when they arrived at Salamis, they proclaimed the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. And so here on this island, we understand that there is a large population of Jewish people, even though this was primarily or initially a Gentile place. There's a need for multiple synagogues on this island. And they had John Mark, actually cousin Barnabas. So they took him along to assist and went through the whole island as far as Paphos. Came upon a certain magician, a Jewish false prophet named Bar-Jesus. He was with the proconsul, Sergius Paulus, a man of intelligence, who summoned Barnabas and Saul and sought to hear the word of God. Amen. As a pastor, preacher, prophet, teacher, that's what you're hoping for, right? That people would call you and summon you and say, hey, could you come share with me the good news about Jesus? I've been hearing about what you guys are doing, and I'm really curious what's happening. But Elymas, the magician, the guy that we talked about called Bar-Jesus, for that is the meaning of his name, opposed him, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. Let me tell you this. Anytime the Holy Spirit is on your life, in your heart, doing His work, moving you into action, and fruit is happening, ministry is happening, the devil will always respond. Don't be surprised when you step out on faith and God is using you that circumstances come against you and you get some kind of person, some kind of entity, some kind of group, some kind of circumstances that come against what God is trying to do in your life. And don't quit. If God's called you to that and you face some hardships, guess what? That might mean that you're doing the right thing. That might mean that you're in exactly the right place because the devil does not like to see the real root of what happened in his life. The devil, I don't think he minds at all Christian people who are just working in their own power, doing their own thing, just working themselves to death for the ministry. That doesn't threaten him at all. You know what threatens him? Real Christians, empowered, led, guided, hearing from the Holy Spirit. That's powerful stuff. And he'll always try to move and block and stop that. But instead, the Holy Spirit puts a stop to him. We see that in verse 9. But Saul, who was also called Paul, this is the first time in Acts where we see Saul being called by his Roman name, Paul. And then there's a shift here. So from on out, you'll hear him referred to as Paul. And he's stepping into his apostleship right here in this calling and in this moment. But Saul, who was also called Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was already filled with the Holy Spirit at the time of his salvation. But for special times of work in your life and obviously in Paul's life, there's a special filling of the Holy Spirit that God will use to empower you, to give you what you need in that moment to do the work that he has called you to. He intently at him and said, Jack, can you not do that anymore? Did he say that? No, he didn't say that at all. Sometimes as an apostle, a teacher, preacher, a man with the word of God, you got to say, especially when somebody is obviously of the devil that's opposing the work of God, you do speak to other Christians in brotherly love. You speak the truth in love. But in this instance, he says this, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy. Woo! Will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you. You think the Lord upon you? Usually we think about that in a good way. Not in this case, not for this guy. Now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and unable to see the sun for a time. That's pretty blind. Anybody see the sun out there this morning? Yeah, it's pretty bright, right? This guy was so blind he could not see the sun. Immediately, mist and darkness fell upon him, and he went about seeking people to lead him by the hand. So we got to know and understand that being led by the Holy Spirit of God is what we want, that we desire. It's what we need for fruit in lives. But all know that when the Holy Spirit is upon you, that people that try to come against the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news about what God has done on your behalf, that God will move to block those people, and you don't have to worry about those people. Yes, persecution will come, but you don't have to worry and fret about what other people think about you, because the gospel of Jesus Christ moving forward is more important than other people's opinions. And here in this moment, the Apostle Paul rebukes this guy strongly, and he is blinded. He is struck blind on the spot, and the gospel moves forward. We see that because in verse 12, the proconsul believed when he all had occurred, for he was astonished at the teaching of the Lord. Two things there. He saw the works and the words of the Lord, right? He saw the work of the Lord in action. And unbelievers, when they see Holy Spirit-filled believers doing the work of God, it doesn't make sense and it looks different than what is happening in the world. And then they hear the truth of God spoken, the word of God spoken, that the Holy Spirit used that to bring this man, the leader of this island, to saving faith in Jesus Christ. So the Holy Spirit was not only empowering the people, they were hearing from the Spirit, they were sent by the Spirit, they were being saved by the Spirit as well. So they were preaching the gospel, saw this island change for Jesus Christ. And that's what you and I want as well. My encouragement for us as a church, once again, is this. Let's fast and pray. Let's deny ourselves this week and in upcoming weeks and learn to turn things off. That phone that you got in your pocket, find that off button. Figure out where that thing is. Shut that thing off for a couple of days. Turn off your social media and TV or whatever your distraction is. If it's your kids, you know what? This guy John Saunders here, he's the director of the RVBA. He's willing to take your kids for a week. Just kidding. 2 weeks. 2 weeks. So that you can deny yourself the pleasure of being around. No, I'm just totally joking. But whatever it takes, let's be a people that are willing to deny ourselves. Thank you for those of you who are here in the heat right now, denying yourself a little bit of AC to say, you know what? It's hot. I get it. But you know what's better than the heat? The Word of God, the fellowship of the believers coming together saying, this doesn't make sense. I could be at home right now. But you're willing to come out and do the work of the ministry, be the church together. For those of you who cannot make it right now, we totally get that and understand those as well, and to say, you know, Matt, whatever that looks for you, hopefully the people at home have not turned off their TVs right now. I just thought of that. They're like, all right, Pastor, you said it. We're shutting down this laptop or this phone. We're not watching this anymore. Man, don't you want to be led by the Spirit? If our ministry, our lives are not being led by the Holy Spirit, what are we doing? Going through the motions? I don't know about you, but I would rather not go through the motions. I'd rather have 2 months, 6 months, 1 year of my life being completely led by the Holy Spirit of God than 20 years working my fingers to the bone, trying to do the work in my own power and have no fruit. God is moving and working here in this place today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Holy Spirit, you know our hearts. You know those who are like the proconsul in this story who need Jesus and need to place their faith in him today. Lord, they've heard the story here before about how Jesus came to this earth, the Son of God, to die on a cross, to take their place as a substitute for them so that their sins could be forgiven, washed away, their heart could be made clean, and they could enter into a relationship with Jesus. And God, for anybody that's online or in this courtyard right now in this moment, I pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would do a saving work in their heart, that they would lay down their former way of life, and that they would say yes to Jesus today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If that's it for the very first time, you need to invite Jesus to take over life, to wash away your sin, and receive the work that he did for you. If that's you, do me a favor. Go ahead and slip your hand up right now, wherever you are. I see you guys right there. Right there. Anybody else? I need Jesus today. Do me a favor. If that's you this morning, I want you to take a bold step and go ahead and just stand up right where you're at. If you raised your hand earlier and you meant it and you said, I need Jesus. I'm tired of trying to do things my way and I need God to take over my life. Go ahead and stand up right where you're at. Just say, I acknowledge that I want to give my life to Jesus. If that's you, I want you to take another bold move and come on up here with me right now. Don't be shy. Come on forward. I'm not going to do anything crazy. I just want to be able to pray for you and thank God for the work that he is doing inside of your heart right now. Anybody else say, I need Jesus in this place today. Amen. Let's give the Holy Spirit a hand. Thank you so much for these ladies and gentlemen who have said, I'm going to give my heart, my life to Jesus. Let's pray together right now. Lord Jesus, we acknowledge that you are alive and well and doing your work. And Lord, we want to be a people that are seeing fruit and that are seeing your Holy Spirit do his work, the work that we can't do. And Lord, we thank you right now in this moment for people who have said, I need a fresh start with Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would take their lives, use it for your glory. And we pray this in Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to get you guys to do me a huge favor. We got some cold waters and a cold room set up right here. They're getting to walk through these doors right there with you. If you would just take a walk, they just want to talk to you for like a couple of minutes and hear your story and share. So just take a walk right on down that sidewalk right there. Let's thank God for continuing to move to do his work. If you're online and God moved in your heart today, man, we really encourage you to let us know. You can click that button that says Salvation Moment, and or you can just type it right there in the chat, and the host would love to be able to talk with you and share with you more about what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus. But for those of us who are still here, I want this. I've said plenty of times before, but I'll say it again. We need to be led by the Spirit. Are you, or are we fooling ourselves? Let's go back. Let's read Acts 13. Let's fast. Let's pray. Let's worship until the Holy Spirit is filling you up so much that you just can't stand it and that you're carried away with his power, that you're out of control, that no matter, it's a good thing when the Holy Spirit's carrying you away and you try to grab on to your old way of life or to a log in a river and it's just ripped right out of your hand because his power is too strong for us. Amen.